my not
No,
as
not at
well?
all.
Perfect.
We're going to go around the table and introduce ourselves to get on record who's here. And then
Record.
you'll have your 15 minutes to let us know what you think the value is and why, and any concerns you might have with the assessment. The board may ask you some questions at the end. We may have a conversation about the property at the end. But then the board will recess to deliberate. They'll come up with a decision, and then we'll send that notice to you. It's called a result of grievance notice within 14 days of the end of the list your appeal hearings. We're looking to end those on the 8th, so it'll be 14 days after that. So you should get it within that time period. Our turnaround is about a week to get the letters out, so it'll be before that, but. By statute, we have to have them out 14 days after the close of the hearings. Okay? And so let's go around the room and introduce ourselves.
Charlotte Gardner.
Robert Vickery.
Terry Barrows.
Tammy Tandy.
And this is for 55 Webley Street. Webley Street.
That is correct.
Just all.
So. Basically, I gave you a little packet just to show my main concern, as I've expressed with Robert and with Vision, is I've gotten one set of instructions from Vision when I first called them. And then subsequently, I wrote to Robert, Bobby, saying that, you know, there was some concerns that I had with the land being valued again. I have since, per your email, Bob, contacted Vision. They stand by what they said. And I do have a recording of that, but if I played it for you, I can send it to you. It's a 15-minute recording and it would take up my whole time. So they basically said they stand by what they said and that I needed to basically work it out with Colchester for lack of better words. So on the first page, I asked them, what does market value represent when you did the assessment? And what they told me is this. They valued the home, the lot that the home was on, and any building structures, intangible assets, or personal property. That was sheds, decks, etc. And I asked them that five different times. I have spoken to Joe. I have spoken to Peggy. I have spoken to Maria. I have spoken to Sarah. Everybody, and I also have an urgent email that I sent them this today saying, listen, I have a meeting at 4:20 today. They have basically ghosted me now. So.
Okay. What are the names again?
Nobody gave me last names. So Joe, and that should be, and that's the tape recorded. Sarah is the second tape recorded. Maria, unfortunately, I did not tape record that. And Peggy, I did not record that as well.
And they both said that they're valuing a site?
Correct. They said that their price, which is different than your price, which was $154, that's why I brought the second page, if you go with the new assessment, their assessment of $154.6 included the home on the land with all the decks, porches.
And you explained to them that you were a mobile home on a lease site in the park.
Correct. I even questioned them about the 03 setting. If you look at page 2 of that new property card, I questioned them about a couple of things. The grade of 04, what is that? And why did it differ from the old car? They couldn't explain that to me. Also, how my home on the old card in 2011, my home depreciated at 17%. On the new card, it depreciated 13%. I have never heard of a mobile home appreciating. It is the used cars of mobile homes. We all know that. When I asked them what they used for the building value, they told me it was Marshall and Swift. And I said to them, Marshall and Swift is
primarily used for stick-built housing and also for cost replacement, to which they said yes, and I asked them why they did not use the J.D. Powers model, which is structured to go to mobile homes. They couldn't give me an answer, and they were supposed to give me something in writing. So what I did after that is I went to Plattsburgh Wholesale Homes, which is where I bought my home from, the original home. And I asked them, a brand new home with the same thing as what I have right now, what would that home cost me? And that you're going to see on the 7th page in your packet. And that home would be $104,900 delivered and set up. So if I took that brand new home, $104,900, and the $59,900, you know, given dollars here and there, that would be, according to realtors and according to them, would be fair market value. I've also included in there the J.D. Powers manufactured home value report, which I also got from Plattsburgh Homes. Not on a lot, just the home itself is valued at $47,235.77. Now, we all know that there is a site fee or a land lease community adjustment value, and you will see that on page 2, which is $54,793.49. Neither one of these amounts are the $154,700 that Vision did, or the $146,900. Thank you very much. Neither one of those are that. I also have included in this packet some homes that are for sale. There's a home on Bean Road, 704, and I wanted to get the property card on it, but unfortunately, this home is not listed in the GSI anywhere.
What's the street address?
704 Bean Road. I could not find it anywhere. Now, this home is being offered by Signature Properties of Vermont. But I want to make note of this. It's for the home only. And they're selling that home at $59,900, okay? Not on the land.
So do you have to remove it?
You do have to remove it and everything else. But what I've also included in there is some homes that are currently for sale as of today on Zillow that are mobile homes and parks. And these are fair market value for what realtors are listing. And we have anywhere from $70,000 all the way up to $145,000. There is nothing for $206,000. Some of these homes are newer than mine. Some of them are older than mine. So I would just ask for clarification, if this panel can tell me, how was I assessed? Because Vision says I was assessed one way. And I understand, Robert, what you're telling me is Colchester has never. But if they gave you that assessment and they said that they included to me, and it's recorded, that they included that land in there, then when I see another piece, as we discussed, for $59,900, it feels like to me that I'm being taxed again for the land that my home is on.
I understand. I can tell you that they are wrong. We do not tax the land for mobile homes and parks, okay. Period. We just don't do that. We've never done that, not as long as I've been here. When we did the analysis for this reassessment, we reviewed it. We only looked at sales of mobile homes that were in parks without the land being added to it. Okay, so your assessment for your building of $146,000 is compared to the sales of other mobile homes within Westbury Park without the land. Okay, the analysis that we do is a price per square foot of the mobile home, not including any land. Now, there is adjustments based on which park you're in. For instance, Westbury is a more valuable. The same mobile home in Westbury is going to sell for more than it does in Windermere. So there is that adjustment. And whether or not Vision thinks that's a site adjustment, I don't know. We call it a park adjustment. But we have never, and we will never, assess the land to the mobile home. The only thing that we're doing now, which has changed because the state law requires us to not tax the parks owned as co-ops to the co-op, but to the units themselves. So that's what we're doing now for that specific state statute. But we do not, I've never taxed the land to a mobile home that is in a park, and I've been doing this for 25 years. It is not something we do, period.
So my question to you is this, and you may or may not be able to answer this. When the realtor, I've called several realtors and asked them to come out and do an assessment. And their assessment is that it's on the land. That's included in the fair market value. Whether it's, you're paying for it because it's on, if I was, like I said, to go and buy this home brand new, just the home, it would be 109.
Yeah.
And that's the same. So when you take that and you add it to the 59.9, that seems fairer than a 2006 home that now is listed at 206. I asked the three realtors and I asked them to write letters that I can submit, but unfortunately, mm-hmm. as you can imagine, people are busy and time is short. Mm-hmm. Is there any way that I could ever possibly get 206? And they said no.
Yeah, the 206 is including that co-op, your portion of the co-op value. Your mobile home that we're assessing is the 140,000 or 146.9, right?
Okay.
So then we, because of the state law, the state law says you can't tax the co-op, but all the land and facilities to the co-op need to be assessed to the mobile homes. Mm-hmm. So we have to take the assessment for the co-op, which is about $15 million mm-hmm. for the entire co-op, divide it by 250, because there's 250 mobile homes in that, mm-hmm. and then assign that portion of value for the co-op to each mobile home. Okay, that's what the state law says, so that's what we're doing. So that's where that 59,000 comes from.
Okay,
so that's a portion, but the 49,000 is just the building and any decks or things or sheds that are part of that. Now, part of that, just to explain, if you were to buy your mobile home without being on a site, there is a value to that.
Correct.
Once you put that mobile home on a site, the cost of moving that mobile home across the interstate, the cost of installing that home on the site, the cost of the site work, all those things becomes part of the cost of the mobile home.
And that is the second page that I gave you. I didn't give you that.
So we had somebody come in who talked to Fecto, and mm-hmm. Fecto was saying to them that a new mobile home was around $150,000 off their lot. But for them to move the mobile home to the site, prep the site, install the mobile home, it's going to be another $39,000-$40,000. Mm-hmm. And thus, that value for the new mobile home coming into Westbury Park from Fecto was around $205,000, is what they testified. So that's where we're getting our new mobile home values, based on what somebody's paying for the mobile home that's on the site. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that installation cost is part of that mobile home. Right, so then we take those values of new mobile homes, we line them up by age, and we're able to get that adjustment for depreciation. And so maybe 15 years ago, when we the last time we did this, depreciation on a mobile home that was 30 years old or 20 years old was 17%. Because the market's changed, now that depreciation on that same mobile home is only 13%. So that's what we look at, and that's how that's how we adjust for the age and condition of the mobile homes. We actually line them up, the sales, and come up with the curve for that depreciation. And we also look at the new mobile homes, what's the price per square foot of those new mobile homes. That's where we get the price per square foot of those homes. And that includes the installation cost. Now, whether or not Vision is saying that installation cost is a site, I don't know. But I can tell you that we consider that part of the price per square foot of the mobile home is the installation cost.
So, like I said to you, I did give that on the second page. I didn't go through Fecto. I bought my home through Plattsburgh.
Yeah.
So, that's where I went to them.
Yeah,
and I also...
No, it's good.
So I didn't go through them because I found them to be quite inflated, and as you can see why. So I did include that cost. Actually, I didn't even make that page up. That was sent to me by the Plattsburgh Mobile Home. And they do put that in the site fee, and, you know, you'll see there's one page from J.D. Power that says it's not on a lot, and then one that says it's on the lot. If you look at the difference, there's a difference of 47 to 54, like $7,000 to $10,000, which they say cover the cost of that. You obviously pay for, and let me collect my thoughts. You obviously pay for if you have a full slab. If you don't have a full slab, because state law now, HUD law says you have to have a slab. Mm-hmm. That comes to my third question. Was my home assessed with a slab or without a slab?
There's no adjustments with or without a slab. We're just saying that this is the price of your mobile home, price per square foot. Okay. I guess we're not making any assumptions either way.
Okay. That's good. No, I'm glad. My concern is that what I'm getting from, you know, the home piece is far different than what I'm seeing on an assessment piece, and I'm trying to figure out how do we get to the middle.
Yeah.
Because they are completely different. Mobile homes, I hate to say this because I live in one, because we've downgraded, they are the used cars of housing. You drive a car off a lot, guess what? Just because you paid $30,000, the minute you drive it off the lot, it's worth less. The same thing with a mobile home. And when I asked Vision about their, you know, using the Marshall Swift, even though it's industry standard, that's great, but it's industry standard for replacement cost and of stick-built housing. Yes, can they do manufactured? But they're not the experts in manufactured. Now, NADA and J.D. Powers is. Mm-hmm. And when I look at all that stuff, I just can't get to the 147 without something being added.
Let me just clarify really. The Marshall and Swift, most of Vermont uses Marshall and Swift. We do not use Marshall and Swift in Colchester.
Okay.
We strictly get our values, price per square foot, from the sales. If we were to do Marshall and Swift, what you do is you go, yeah, there's a manual, I have it in my office, right? You flip it open, you look up the quality, the size, style, right? It gives you your price per square foot, you make the adjustment on the price per square foot, you have to make a time location adjustment to that based on where you are in town. It's kind of a blunt instrument. Same thing with J.D. Power. You need to make that adjustment for location because it's a national standard. So we don't use it because we have enough sales in Colchester to develop our own price per square foot on mobile homes, and actually, quite frankly, stick build as well. We don't use it. We actually develop that ourselves in-house. I know in Killington, for instance, Killington does use Marshall Swift, and Vision did work in Killington. So, you know, whether or not they're considering that, what they used it in Killington, I don't know. But I think it's around 160 to 170 towns in Vermont use a Marshall Swift type CAMA system. We don't.
So I guess my question to the town is this. Why would we have Vision do an assessment if the town is not going to? My confusion is I've got folks and assessors at Vision telling me that they definitely included the land in the assessment. I've got you, which I want to believe both, saying it didn't happen. Why would we use a company that says that's what they did and that is the assessment, and yet we're not far off? I mean, they assessed it at 154, you're assessing it at 146.9. I just don't understand. I wish I did.
Well, I can tell you, not one of these people worked on this project that you talked to. If you had talked to Chris Rule, who was a senior appraiser on the project, or Mike Torello, who was the project manager, they would have told you the same thing I'm telling you.
Unfortunately, when you set up an appointment with them,
that you get who you get, right?
You don't get to choose, and trust me,
yeah.
I have begged to speak to you.
Yeah, and that's the problem. In Vermont, there's only so many appraisal companies that are approved. When we go out to bid, Colchester doesn't have enough manpower to do all the data collecting. We do now, or we're going to be working on that for the next reappraisal. We're going to do it in-house. But we have to hire a company to do the work for us because we just cannot do it in-house. And there's only so many companies available that are large enough that are approved by the tax department that we can use. So when we go out to bid, we bid on, sent it out to every approved company, and a lot of those will only do small towns. Some of them only do commercial properties. And the only three companies that are large enough to do, or four companies that are large enough to do a town the size of Colchester in Vermont, only two of them bid. So we were stuck. We had to pick one of them, and that's the reality.
I totally understand that, and I understand. It's just for a resident, it's just very, very confusing. And of course, if I put my home up for sale, do I think that it's definitely worth more than what it was assessed at 2011? Absolutely. I just don't think it's worth the 206. And there's no way that I can convince a buyer that's coming in that says, oh, this is my home, but you got to pay this extra for the land that the home is on. Do you see what I'm saying? Everybody you talk to says, that sounds like we're being
I see what you're saying,
up.
But we're not, when you go to sell the home, we're saying you could sell it for 146,
that's
not
really
206.
That's 146, or 154.
The 59,000 is nothing to do with the fair market value of your mobile home.
But what I'm saying to you is when I have a realtor come in and I say, just the home itself, because you're telling me I'm not being assessed on the land, just the home itself is not worth 146,900.
Okay. That's the conversation.
It's only worth 146,900 or whatever is being said, because it's on that land.
So what do you think you could sell that home for?
I'm waiting for those realtors. I would love to tell you what I think, but I want to make sure I'm accurate in that. I'm waiting for those three realtors to come back and give me a fair assessment on that.
And just the grading of full good or average plus 10 that's on your house, is because the 16-foot wides sell for a higher price per square foot than the 14-foot wides. And that's how we make that adjustment between the 14-foot and 16-foot. So if you break down the price per square foot of the 16-foot, it's a higher price per square foot.
And what about double wides?
Double wides have their own cost table.
Okay.
And I know that they couldn't answer because they weren't part of those conversations. Sarah and Peggy and Joe.
Unfortunately, I wish they had given, but like I said, you would think that when you schedule an appointment with them to go over things, I'm still waiting for documentation from them. I have not received anything. And when I talked to them as of today, they had me write to mailbox one and put an urgent on it, and still nothing.
Yeah. Well, so, I apologize for that. We are responsible for our contractors, so.
Well,
does follow me.
The unfortunate piece is I'm sure I'm not the only one that has called them or had a meeting with them. Maybe I'm the only one that has asked this question. I have no idea. But if they're giving me that answer, they're giving other people that answer. So it's concerning.
Yeah. Yeah. And the best I can do is contact the project supervisor, Mike, and say this is what's happening with the people on the phone, and they need to get things correct, or you answer the phone.
Exactly.
Or if they can't answer the question, have them call me. Like,
totally.
There's no reason for them to give you wrong information.
Okay. I think we're probably still at an impasse because I still don't see the 146.9. I unfortunately, I'm not a realtor, so I don't know what my home. I did bring some listings of current homes that are for sale. Some are for sale by owner, some are for sale by realtors. You know, just to get a ballpark, I only saw one home in there for 145.9. The rest were all. Now, did I look at past sales? No, I did not. But will I be looking at past sales when I go home? Absolutely.
Yeah.
What has sold in the past 6 months, just to see what the prices are?
Well, you can do it. I can give you a list.
Please.
What you can do, and we can do it right now. You go to VGISI.com. And then you go into the town's website on there. Listings. Okay, so you're going to look up, go to VGSI.com. Go into assessment data. Pick Vermont. And then pick Colchester. Type in your address for a search. Once your address comes up, on the top right hand corner will be search items. One of them is sales.
Okay.
So you click the button for sales, and then you fill in the parameters and go 2024 to 2026, to April 2026. Use a pretty wide swath for square footage. Okay, like 700 square feet to 1300 square feet. Okay,
you're being generous. I only looked for 1200.
Well, I'm just getting the more sales you can get, right? And then a price range from 75,000 to 200,000 or something, or okay. And it's going to give you the list of all the sales in Westbury Park. Okay. And there you're going to see some 65,000, you're going to see some 200,000.
Yeah. Okay. There's a sales search, Tammy, right there. Once you plug yours in, that must be where it is. I mean,
And then run an average, and you'll see that the average is well above $100,000.
But again, my argument is, it's because it's on the land. If it wasn't on the land, it would not get that.
Yeah. And you can do the same thing for Woodland Shores. You can do the same thing for Breezy Acres.
Well, I can't compare those to
Breezy Acres. Breezy Acres does have a less price per square foot on their units.
I did find that out from the...
Woodland Shores is very close. It's about the same, I think, about probably because of lake influence. Windermere is less.
Yeah. And Hillcrest, I believe.
And Hillcrest is between Breezy Acres and Westbury.
Okay.
So Hillcrest is a little bit more than Breezy Acres, but less than Westbury.
Okay.
As far as what they're selling for, price per square foot. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we have to go on to the next one.
Yes, we got